This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This week on Case Closed, we'll begin with Box 13 and Round Robin, their story from August 14, 1949. That's followed up with T-Man and the Case of the Bleeding Gold, story from April 29, 1950.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of the Starred Times. If you want adventure plus a little payoff, register at the Morris Hotel as John Johnson. As soon as you've done that, take a seat in the lobby and wait to be paged. Don't ask any questions. Just follow instructions and you'll find $500. $500 waiting for you. Don't ask any questions, the letter said. I didn't. Not at first. But there were plenty that needed answering before this was wrapped up.
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's newest adventure, Round Robin.
Good morning, Morris Hotel.
I'd like to make a reservation, please.
Certainly, double or single room.
Oh, just a minute. Mr. Holliday.
What, Susie?
Do you want a double or single room at the Morris Hotel?
Oh, make it a single.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, madam.
That's a single room, please. It's for Mr. John Johnson, and he'll be in this afternoon before 2.
Thank you. We'll hold the reservation until that time.
Thank you. Goodbye. Well, that's that, Mr. Holliday.
Mm-hmm. What a phony name. John Johnson. Why not Smith or Brown or Jones?
You know, Mr. Holliday, it could just be that name is genuine.
5 will get you 10. The name is a phony.
Well, maybe. Anyway, there'll be a reservation for you. Do you want me to wait here till you get back?
Susie, how many times have you said that? And how many times have you waited a long, long time?
Lots of times. Oh, Mr. Holliday, I only hope that someday the wait isn't forever.
That makes 2 of us. Okay, Susie, I'm off to the Morris Hotel, thinly disguised in name only as Mr. John Johnson. I registered at the Morris Hotel, signed the card as John Johnson, picked out a nice seat in the lobby and waited. 10 minutes went by, then 15. And it was easily a half hour before I became aware that a name was being called by a bellhop.
Mr. John Johnson. Paging Mr. John Johnson. Mr. John Johnson, please.
Uh-oh. Here you are, boy.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes. That's the name I registered under, son.
Thank you, sir. A message for you.
Oh, thank you. Here you are.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Want me to wait for an answer, sir?
I don't know. I'll tell you in a minute. No, there's no answer.
Very good, sir. And thank you again, Mr. Johnson.
I was about to ask the boy who sent the message, but I figured that would be useless. What good would it do me? So I did what the note said, went to the 5th floor and knocked on the door of room 502.
Yes? Who is it?
John Johnson. It's Mr. Johnson.
I heard you the first time. Come in. You didn't waste any time, did you? Punctual to the second.
I always try to be prompt. It pays.
Yes, especially in your profession.
My profession?
What you want is on the dresser. Take it and get out before I change my mind.
On the dresser? This?
Yes. Well, aren't you going to open it?
Should I?
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you?
To tell you the truth, I'm not at all sure of anything at the moment. However, since we've apparently concluded our business, I may as well go.
Yes, please do. No. Wait. Don't go out that door.
Oh, the lady carries a Luger. Isn't that rather large for your handbag?
I'm not going to let you get away with it, no matter what the result.
Well, look, maybe we'd better get something straight.
I've just straightened things out in my own mind.
Oh, how nice. Now let's get around to my mind. What'll we do about it?
You're so sure of yourself. But I'm not going to let you do it. You wouldn't stop with the necklace. You'd hold me up again and again. Well, I'm not going to let you. I'm going to kill you.
Maybe you'd better listen first.
There's nothing you can say.
Lady, look, with a Luger muzzle putting a period right between my eyes, there's a lot I can say. I'd like to filibuster a little.
You're insane. How can you stand there and speak like that?
Oh, it's easy.
Now stay away.
Please, lower the gun just a little.
Don't come any closer. You filthy...
Don't go after it. Let it lie on the floor.
I should have killed you right away.
Please, sit down.
Get out.
Sit down. Now, here, take this package.
Are you giving it back?
Yes, I'm giving it back.
Who are you?
Here, take a look at this letter. While you're reading it, I'll get out a few proofs of who I am. Driver's license, auto club card, a couple of letters.
I don't understand this.
Obviously you don't. Here, now take the gun. Still want to use it?
Who sent this letter to you?
Apparently someone who wanted me to collect this package from you. Someone who didn't want to pick it up himself or herself.
But why?
I don't know. Maybe we'll pick up an answer to that after you've explained a few things. For example, what's in the package?
A diamond necklace.
Yours?
My husband's. It was his mother's. He gave it to me for a wedding present.
Okay. Now, who are you?
Mrs. Therese Clements. That doesn't mean anything to you, does it?
No. But go on with your explanation.
The necklace was blackmail payment. I have no money of my own.
Blackmail, huh? And you thought I was the black sheep in the case?
Yes, the last letter I received said I was to come here and wait, then deliver the necklace to a Mr. John Johnson.
And I was to wait until someone asked me for the package.
I don't understand why there are all of these elaborate precautions.
Do you have any idea who's blackmailing you?
Of course not.
And, a little delicate subject. Why?
Does that matter?
No, I suppose not. It's your business.
Mr. Holliday, I have a 16-year-old daughter. I was willing to pay for her sake.
Oh? You were also willing to kill me for her sake.
I wouldn't have done it. I was trying to frighten you into letting me alone.
Mm-hmm. Look, Mrs. Clements, I've got an idea.
An idea? What do you mean?
No one knows what has happened in this room but you and me. Now, suppose I were to walk out of here with this package. The blackmailer would assume I had the necklace. He'd come after me, wouldn't he?
You'd do that?
Why not? I don't like blackmailers. They remind me of leeches and things that crawl.
What? Why would you do this for me?
Let's say it's the Luger.
The Luger?
Uh-huh. I also hate pearl-handled revolvers. This one is very businesslike.
Well, what will you do?
Walk out of here and out of the hotel without waiting for further instructions from our mysterious letter writer. Oh, meanwhile, give me your address.
Yes, here. Here's my card.
Okay. Now we'll see who puts his dirty little neck into our trap. So I walked out of the Morris Hotel with a fake package tucked under my arm. I hurried away, jumped into a cab, and had the driver double back and forth through the streets while I kept looking back. Yes, there was someone following in another cab. And whoever it was thought I was trying the old trick of shaking a shadow. Well, that was fine with me because I was going to let him keep right on me. So I got out of my cab, ducked into a coffee shop, and sat at a table, waiting. Not for long, though. My boy got out of his cab and walked in. I waited until he passed my table and... Sorry. I guess I stuck my feet out too far. Did you hurt yourself?
No, not at all. It's okay. Forget it.
But I don't want to forget it. I'm fully covered by insurance. You might have to be treated for shock.
Look, mister, I said it was okay. Let's forget the whole thing.
Have some coffee with me.
No, thanks.
But I insist. Coffee's a good stimulant. You look a little pale. Maybe you're hurt worse than you think.
What are you, a wise guy?
No, you can think of something better than that. That crack went out with high-button shoes.
Let go of my arm.
Sit down.
I'll call the cops.
Please do. Right out the window, there's a large blue policeman. Tap on the window, get his attention.
Okay, you're a lunatic. I'll sit down.
Oh, good. Cream and sugar?
What's the idea?
I was going to ask you the same thing. This what you're looking for?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This package for Mrs. Clements.
You're nuts. I gotta go now.
No, I think I'll call a cop.
Okay, mister, call a cop. That one right outside.
You wouldn't mind?
Not at all. Here, take a look at these.
What are they?
Credentials. I'm a licensed operative for a private detective agency.
Are these on the level?
Why don't you check and find out?
I will.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind, I'll take off.
With me?
Why don't you get lost?
With you. Come on, lead me to your private detective agency. I'm a very curious man.
This way, Holiday. We'll see the boss.
What's his name?
Barrett. Mr. Barrett. In here. Mr. Barrett?
Yeah, Phil? Who's that?
The guy you wanted me to pick up at the Morris Hotel.
Well, why bring him here? All you had to do is pick up a package from him.
Maybe you better ask him all about it.
Okay, I'll take it from here.
That suits me. See you later.
You. Close the door and come in.
I assume you meant me.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me have the package.
First, did you write this letter to me?
Yeah, I did. Now you want your 500.
No. No, you keep it.
What?
I said you keep it. As payment for giving me an answer to something.
Like what?
Did you know what was going to be in this package?
Going to be.
This one is nice and empty.
What's the double cross for?
For blackmail.
What are you yammering about?
Aren't you the nice, innocent boy?
Cut it out. I was willing to pay you for a job.
And I want to know why you had me pick up the package instead of one of your own men.
Client's instructions. Confidential.
You mean, your client requested you to have the package picked up by me?
Yeah.
Who's your client?
Sure. I'd tell you, just like that. Look, I didn't like the deal in the first place. But I was getting paid and I didn't ask questions.
Can you prove what you're saying?
To you?
Yes.
I don't have to.
That's true. But you might have to prove it to the police.
Look, I've got a license to run this agency, and I run it straight. So far, I've had no trouble with the force.
So far? So far.
What's that crack for?
I don't believe you're telling the truth.
No? Yeah, take a look at these, and then say that again. Here. A letter telling me to get you to pick up the package at the Morris Hotel. Your ad cut out of the Star Times.
And you won't tell me who your client is?
No.
Not even if I told you that that package is worth about $100,000?
Not even then.
Aren't you even curious?
I never get curious.
Not even about blackmail?
What?
Now you're going to tell me you didn't know your client was set up to squeeze a blackmail payment.
No, I didn't know.
Well, it's true. There was a diamond necklace. It was blackmail payment. Or it was to be.
Oh.
Oh, now you get hysterical. Is blackmail so funny?
No, it's not. But, brother, it's going to be.
What do you mean by that?
None of your business. Look, you got in this on a rain check. Well, the rain's over.
Meaning, I'm out.
Exactly. I'll take it from here.
On what?
On what my client pays me. And something tells me the ante's going up.
Now back to Round Robin, another Box 13 adventure with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
This was getting to be a round robin, me chasing the robin and getting nowhere. It was obvious that Barrett's client didn't want to come out in the open. Barrett told me he had never seen the client but worked through mailed instructions. Well, there was another way to go at this. See Mrs. Teresa Clements and try to find a lead from there. And if there was none, to bow out and let the police take over. So later that evening, I sat with Mrs. Clements in the library of her home.
No, I don't know who it is. I've no idea who's doing it, Mr. Holliday.
Look, why don't you go to the police?
I can't. For a few moments in the hotel, I've had a little courage.
We'll have some more. Don't you see, Mrs. Clements, a blackmailer never stops. Once he gets his hooks in, he keeps them in.
What will I do?
Go to the police, I told you.
And have the whole nasty thing come out? My daughter? My husband? I can't.
It's the only way. You'll have to risk it.
Mr. Holliday, I want to tell you something. I don't love my husband. But I do love my daughter. It's only for her sake.
All right. But you're making a mistake. And I don't want to be in a...
Shh. Wait.
Who's that?
Charles, my husband.
How will you explain me here?
I'll take care of it. Now, please, don't say anything, please.
All right.
Therese! Therese! Where are you, dear?
We're in here, the library, Charles.
Therese, I want you to...
Oh. Charles, this is Mr. Holliday. Mr. Holliday, my husband, Charles.
How do you do?
My pleasure, Mr. Clements.
Am I intruding?
No, Mr. Holliday's an old friend.
Oh, of course. By the way, Therese, there was a letter for you on the table in the hallway. I brought it for you.
Thank you.
Here you are. Will you stay for dinner, Mr. Holliday?
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Clements. I dropped in for only a few minutes, just to say hello.
Well, if you'll excuse me. Glad to have met you, Holliday.
Thank you. I hope to see you again. Mrs. Clements, what's the letter?
Look, this letter, it's from...
The blackmailer?
Yes, my last chance, he says.
Mail the necklace to General Delivery, Box 18. Your last chance.
I've got to do it.
The envelope is postmarked 2:30 this afternoon. Sent special delivery.
What will I do?
Mail the necklace if you want to.
Is there anything left for me?
Okay, if that's the way you feel about it.
It has to be.
All right, Mrs. Clements. Goodbye. Things were beginning to get a little clearer, but there was still a lot of muddy water in the way, and quite a bit of it was being stirred up by Mr. Barrett. I called his office, found out he was in, and went over to see him.
What do you want now, Holliday?
Can't you guess, Barrett?
Look, I was just getting set to leave here when you called. I'm still set to leave, get it?
Yeah, I get it. You, said you ran this agency straight, didn't you?
Yeah, why?
Why don't you keep running it that way?
What are you talking about?
I think you know.
You just think. Now look, your part in this business is finished, over. Why don't you back out and forget all about it?
I'm only trying to keep you honest, Bert.
Meaning?
I'll give you one more chance to tell me who your client is.
That is confidential.
That's good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It gives you the chance to do a little squeezing yourself.
Beat it, Holliday.
Barrett, you guessed who your client was, didn't you?
Look, I'm closing the office now, Holliday. If you want to stick around here and twiddle your thumbs, okay, but I'm going.
All right. Mind if I use your phone?
Help yourself.
Mind handing me your phone directory?
You ought to split the rent for this place with me. Here. Is this a private call? You want me to leave my own office?
No, stick around. Here we are.
Are you sure you don't want me to leave? After all, a man has to have some privacy, or don't you know that?
No, it's okay, Barrett. You'll enjoy this.
Hello?
Mrs. Clements, please.
Hey, what are you doing?
You'll find out.
This is Mrs. Clements speaking.
Oh, Mrs. Clements, this is Dan Holliday. Did you put that in the mail?
Yes.
When?
Just a few minutes ago.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, that's all I wanted to know.
Well, is something wrong?
Oh, no. Everything's all right. Goodbye.
Well, you've made your phone call. Now will you get out?
Yeah, now I'll get out. And Barrett.
Yes?
Here's hoping you don't end up in the red.
Well, good morning, Mr. Holliday. This is the first time you've been at the office early in weeks.
I had to make a trip to the post office, an early one.
Oh, I could have done it for you.
I don't think so, Susie. I wanted to watch for someone.
Watch for someone? Who?
Nobody.
Didn't you get up a little too early?
Thank you, Susie.
What did you mean, you watch for nobody?
Just what I said. I watched a little box at General Delivery, Box 18. There was nothing in it, and no one went to it.
And why'd you watch it?
For what I knew I wasn't going to see.
I'll go out and get some coffee. It is early.
Just hand me the phone book.
Oh, which one?
The yellow one.
Does all this have to do with Mr. John Johnson?
Here we are. Susie, I want you to do something for me.
What, Mr. Holliday?
Find out all you can about Mr. and Mrs. Charles Clements. Here's their card and their address.
Well, how'll I do it?
Call Lieutenant Kling at headquarters. Also these numbers.
Oh, what are they?
Places where you can lose money heavily.
Hello?
Hello, Barrett.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Holiday.
What do you want now?
Look, Barrett, you can lay off now.
I told you to keep your nose out of this.
You'd better do as I say, or that little private agency of yours will do the most beautiful and complete fold in the history of mankind.
What kind of a bluff do you think you're pulling?
It's no bluff. Just see that you lay off. Goodbye.
Want me to start calling these numbers, Mr. Holiday?
Mm-hmm. Start calling them. And if they don't want to give you any information, get Kling to do it. He owes me a couple of favors.
Where are you going now?
I'll be at the number and address on that card.
The Clements?
The Clements. I don't like what I've got to do, but maybe it'll turn out for the best. Maybe I was wrong, but I was almost sure I was right. It all depended on what Susie found out. And if she found out what I had a hunch about she would, then I'd have the whole thing wrapped up neatly. So I went to the Clements place and again sat with Mrs. Clements in the library.
But I don't understand, Mr. Holiday. I sent the package. It should have been there.
But it wasn't. I watched that box for nearly an hour. Every other box around it had mail in it. Number 18 didn't.
Well, someone got there before you did.
Oh, no. I got there before the post office opened.
Well, then what happened?
Where's your husband?
Charles? He's upstairs. What do you want with him? You're not going to tell him.
Will you get him down here?
But why?
Please do it.
No. No, I won't.
Then I'll go up to him.
Wait. I'll get him down here.
That's better. Oh, incidentally, don't worry about Mr. Barrett anymore. That's all cleaned up.
Barrett?
Yes, that's right. Now you go get your husband. Oh, if the phone rings, I'll answer it because it'll be for me.
All right, I'll be back in just a moment.
Please do. Hello?
Mr. Holiday?
Yeah. Oh, Susie?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's have it.
How did you know I'd find out all this?
Just a hunch. What'd you learn?
Well, there was a lot of money lost. Gambling.
Then it was suddenly paid off.
That's right.
Okay, Susie, thanks. That's all.
Oh, when will you be back?
In a little while. Goodbye.
Mr. Holiday.
Oh, hello. Good morning, Mr. Clements.
Therese said you wanted to see me.
I do. And I hope you don't mind my coming here so early in the morning.
No, of course not. What's this about, Holiday?
A diamond necklace.
What? Yours, Therese?
Yes.
Wow. What about it, Holiday?
Have you still got it?
Why, of course. Why shouldn't we have it?
Because you just don't, that's all.
What the devil are you talking about? Therese, who is this man?
Let him talk, Charles.
About what?
Mr. Clements, the diamond necklace isn't here anymore.
It's in the safe.
You want to bet?
Show you.
No, Charles. It's not there. The box is empty.
Empty?
But you can get it back.
From whom? Why is it gone?
Do you want to tell him, Mrs. Clements?
Yes, I'll tell him. Charles, I sold it to pay gambling debts.
You? What? What, Therese, you little fool.
I was afraid to come to you for money.
Yes, that's right. And what you said about your not loving your husband. It isn't true, Mrs. Clements.
Of course not.
You mind if I sit down? I seem to have lost track of things.
Mrs. Clements, you had a beautiful thing worked out. Your husband is very much in love with you and you with him. But you were afraid to ask him for money to pay your gambling losses. So you were going to pretend the necklace was taken by a blackmailer.
A what? Oh, good heavens, let's have some sense.
All right. I don't know what story Mrs. Clements was going to tell you about the blackmail. But she'd written herself letters. Isn't that right, Mrs. Clements?
Yes.
The blackmail gimmick would explain the loss of the necklace. And in your panic and confusion, you felt that explaining a silly, harmless, and fake indiscretion would have been more agreeable to your husband than hearing about your gambling losses.
Therese, for the love of heaven, why didn't you come to me?
Well, I was afraid.
I think I'll leave you two to settle this. I think you will. How about it?
It's up to you, Charles.
Yes, I guess it is. Let's talk it over, Therese.
Good. Well, I'll see you around.
Mr. Holiday, how did you find out?
Mrs. Clements, I always save the explanations for my secretary.
how'd you find out, Mr. Holliday?
Mrs. Clements told me herself.
She didn't do anything of the kind.
Well, not in so many words, Susie, but the business of getting me to pick up the necklace, that was phony.
Why?
Well, she was afraid of one of Barrett's men would recognize her, so she was going to have me pick up the package and then one of Barrett's men pick it up for me.
Oh, and the package would be returned to her.
Sure, and she'd have a witness that the necklace was picked up and taken from her.
But she stopped you with a gun before you even got out the door.
Sure, but she wouldn't have used that gun. She had to make the whole thing look real. She's a pretty good actress. Only she didn't count on my coming back into the room and offering to help her.
That must have surprised her.
Uh-huh. She had to think fast.
And you guessed about the gambling thing?
Yes, it was just a hunch. But I was sure of it when she got that special delivery letter. You see, it was postmarked 2:30, almost immediately after I'd seen it.
Oh. What about Barrett?
Oh, he guessed, too. And he was going to hold Mrs. Clements up for a little deal of his own. So that's that, Susie, a nice, round robin.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how it'll all come out.
Well, unless I miss my guess, Mrs. Clements will be very, very sorry. Mr. Clements will be very, very stern. He'll get the necklace back, she'll get it back. And I'll get back to some sleep. Good night, Susie.
Listen in again next week when, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, and this week's original story was written by Arthur Bullen. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager, and the part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. Vern Karstensen is in charge of production. Box 13 is a Mayfair production from Hollywood. Watch for Alan Ladd in his latest Paramount picture.
T-Man, starring Dennis O'Keefe.
There's a guy out in Los Angeles wanted by Uncle Sam, and they told me to go get him. I don't know if this guy's short or tall, fat or thin. I don't know his habits or his pals. Don't even know his name. But I'll bet you my badge I pick him up. Because that's the way Uncle wants it.
With Dennis O'Keefe, starred as Agent Dan O'Brien, we bring you another story of the relentless war against crime, fought by the agents of the Treasury Department. A war in the public interest, fought by T-Men. Tonight, the case of the bleeding gold.
What turned out to be the first break in the bleeding gold case came on April 6, 1950 at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But it didn't start in Washington. It started all the way across the country on a dark street in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, Prill. We've got it. Let's get out of here.
Where's Clink?
Coming. He got sidetracked back there.
He's been warned before about that.
Yeah, here he comes.
Taking candy from a baby.
Put the stuff in the back.
Okay.
Clink, let's see what you've got in your pockets.
Huh?
Let's get going.
Clink, I said let's see what you've got in your pockets.
I don't get sore, Prill.
Turn out your pockets, Clink.
Okay, okay.
So I thought so. It's a pretty necklace, Clink.
Yeah, that's why I...
You know the orders. Gold jewelry. No stones. No diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and no pearls. Stones can be traced. We want gold. Just plain gold.
But I thought
put
I...
Put that necklace back where you found it.
Back?
In the store. Now.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking it back.
Shut the door, Brownie.
Yeah. Gonna leave Clink here?
Yes.
But he's taking the stuff back.
Yes, but for the last time. And that doorway makes a nice frame.
A murdered hoodlum in a robbed jewelry store in Los Angeles shouldn't concern the Treasury Department. But the boys in California thought different. They sent the local police report through on the teletype, and the first thing in the morning, the chief had me in his office.
What do you make of it, Dan?
$20 gold piece. I haven't seen one in a long time. It's not bad, either. Ring's all right. Feels all right.
Now what about the engraving?
Yeah, it's a little fuzzy in the background, but it's a darn good counterfeit.
Now here's the weird thing about it. There's more gold in that coin than in a genuine $20 issue.
More gold? Where'd you get it?
It was found on Clink Spencer.
Oh, yeah. The fellow they picked up dead in front of the jewelry store?
That's right.
Gold jewelry. Counterfeit gold piece. But why? Why go to all that trouble to steal gold and then put more of it in a coin than even the government does? You know something, Chief? I like this.
I hoped you would, Dan. Because I'm about to lay it right in your lap.
No, me and my big mouth. Look, what about the boys in Los Angeles?
They're working on it, of course, but... And I hate to say this to your face. You're the best counterfeit man we've got, so they've asked for you.
Yeah, thanks for the orchid, Chief. Oh, can I use your teletype?
Sure, I'll go with you.
Any more of these gold pieces turn up?
No, this is the first. We haven't got much to go on.
When did we ever have much to go on?
Oh, good morning, Mr. O'Brien.
Hiya.
Is that Los Angeles you're talking to, Mildred?
Yes, Chief.
Tell him to hold on.
Yes, sir.
Better address it to Greg, Dan. He's the local man on the case. Know him?
Not yet.
They're waiting, Chief.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. Greg from O'Brien, we gold jewelry thieves and or counterfeiters. Am flying to L.A. end of week. Meet unsavory character. That'll be old me, O'Brien. Pershing Square, make it Saturday noon.
Saturday noon?
Yeah. First bench on left as you enter from 6th Street. You will be reading the New York News. Oh, Little Abner is the cue. I guess that ought to do it.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mildred. Oh, Chief, I'll be with you in a minute.
All right, Dan. I'll be in my office.
Millie, about Saturday,
I know, Dan. You don't have to explain.
Gee, I hate to break the day.
Just be careful, huh?
Sure. Sure. And you, too. So long, kid. Chief, I'll need a cover. Could you get, say, Detroit police to send out Los Angeles office a flyer on a guy named Makit Harrigan, wanted for robbery?
You mean you're going to try for an inside job?
How else can I find out who's running things? And use a good picture of me for a change, will you?
You know what you're asking for if you play it that way.
Yes, I know. But I've got a hunch the only way to break this case is to get inside the mob.
Okay, Dan. I'll get out a flyer.
Good. And send me another counterfeit gold piece. Oh, I know they don't grow on trees, but get me one somehow. The one they found on the body's too dangerous.
Okay, I'll send it to Greg.
Well, I'm off to see the wizard. Be seeing you, Chief.
Okay, mister, here's Pershing Square, the 6th Street side.
I thought Los Angeles was supposed to be the city of sunshine.
Hey, mister, ain't you never heard of the smog?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Mind if I sit down? See, you're reading the New York News. Good paper, isn't it? How's little Abner doing today?
He's in trouble. How are things, O'Brien?
Name's Harrigan now. Hood from Detroit.
Right. What's the plan?
Try to get inside of this thing.
Maybe a one-way street.
I know, Greg. But I've got to find out who's at the other end. What can you give me?
Nothing that we haven't already sent to Washington.
Nothing new?
No. Where are you staying?
I checked in the same hotel the dead hoodlum lived in, the Riverside.
Good spot. Might pick up something there. Anything for me to know?
Detroit police is sending out a flyer with my face on it. When it comes, you might have the local boys drop a few around here and there. One at the hotel might help.
Right.
How do I reach you, Greg?
Hold it a minute.
Okay.
Well, try it anyway. Potter's Drugstore, Alvarado in Maine. Fountain clerks are our men, narcotics detail. Uh-huh. How are you going to contact the gang?
I don't know. I was counting on some information from you.
You kid?
Nothing, huh?
This is a tight, tough gang. They must have used some of our methods before they opened up, surveillance and so on. I'm convinced they got us all spotted. They run for the barn when they see us coming.
Oh, you've been a real big help.
Pick up the paper when I leave. The new gold coin the chief sent you's in it.
Thanks.
I have to go now. Stay put and watch your pigeons till I get clear. Happy landing.
So So I sat there and watched the pigeons. I looked at them and they looked at me. Maybe they thought I was a pigeon too. I could be right. I watched to see that no one tailed Greg out of the park and thought back over what I knew of the case. A gold coin worth more than its face value and a dead hoodlum named Clink. An alcoholic, the dossier had said. An alcoholic. If Clink was a booze fighter, he probably had a favorite spot. A hangout, maybe close to the Riverside Hotel. Maybe. I canvassed an area 4 blocks square around the riverside and found exactly 17 assorted places where a man could get fractured. A real thirsty town. I bought a 4-ounce bottle of olive oil, which I downed in a gulp. I figured I needed a base for my operation. And by the time I hit Mac's Bar and Grill, I had flashed a coin enough times to wear it out and could sing Mule Train backwards. And so far, nothing. I couldn't see any grill in Mac, so I went up to the bar and into my act again.
That'll be 20 cents.
Yeah, here you are. Phew. Hot day.
It's only April.
Yeah, well, I guess my blood's too thick. I just blew in from Detroit.
You don't say. So will you stop playing with that thing? It makes me nervous.
Yeah, come on. Have a drink on me.
I don't like beer.
I'll make it scotch, then. But, hey, I'll take my gold coin.
Your what?
My coin, see?
Yeah. Gold?
Finest minute. It's my lucky piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the drink.
He went away and stayed away. I flashed the coin a few more times, then left. I pulled my routine in the 2 remaining bars in the block with the same results. Nello. I'd done everything but roll that coin on the floor. If I didn't get up to bed, I'd be doing just that, with it still in my pocket. As I fought my way up the creaky stairs to my room, I thought of the taxpayers and how I never could convince them that this was what they paid me.
All right, Browning. That's enough. That's enough. You don't have to kill him. Okay. Dump him on the bed.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. Well, there's nothing in the room. There's a suitcase here. Clothes. A very snappy dresser. Detroit labels.
He must be a Detroit boy.
Don't beat your brains out, Browning. Now, let's help him off with his coat. Yes, there's a Detroit label in it, too. Taylor's name and his name. His name's Hogan or Hargan.
Hargan. Don't you know how to read?
Hold him, Browning, before he gets ideas.
Let go.
Just rest easily, my friend.
Stop it!
What do you guys want?
Where did you get this coin?
My grandmother left it to me in a will.
I don't care for that answer. Where did you get it?
My grandmother.
Why were you flashing that coin around?
Okay, I'll make conversation. The reason I showed the coin was maybe because I'm anxious to get in touch with a guy who knows how to make them.
Anxious, huh? Why?
Engraving on that one stinks.
So?
I'm peddling a dye.
Yeah?
That Trevsey itself couldn't spot it as a phony.
The dye you've got is that good? Why are you looking for company?
I've got to get the gold.
A trail.
Yes.
This could be a T-man trick, a stakeout.
I got a patent on stakeouts.
I have doubts about you, mister.
Let's not take no chances on this guy, Prale.
Do I look like a treasury rat to you?
I lived with a guy once for 3 months, and then he puts the arm on me. All the time he was a T-man.
You could be right, Brownie, but... Get behind the door, Brownie. Answer him.
Who's there?
Pasquale, dead clerk.
All right, open the door, Harrigan. And remember, we can see every move.
Yeah?
There was a cop downstairs just now.
I don't say. What about him?
He was looking for a man named Harrigan.
Harrigan? My name's Johnson. You know that. I signed the register.
This cop, he shows me this official paper with your picture on it. Wants to know if you're here.
Let me see.
I said nothing, senor. Of course, he may be back. Okay.
Here's a 10. Now get out of here and keep your mouth shut.
Pleasure, senor. A pleasure.
Yeah, let me see that. Ah, wanted flyer. Ah, but it's got Baby's name and picture on it, all right. The Detroit police would like to get in touch with Baby.
What's the beef, Prale?
Armed robbery, jailbreak.
Now maybe we can stop going around in circles and get down to business, Mr. Prale.
Yes, perhaps we can. Be outside the hotel at 7 tonight if you really have something to sell. Come on, Brownie.
I'll be there.
Goodbye, Mr. Harrigan.
Yes?
Los Angeles calling, Chief. Mr. Gregg.
Okay. Go ahead, Gregg.
O'Brien contacted me through the drugstore, Chief. Needs a set of dyes, good ones.
Dyes? What for?
I don't know. He's got some idea or other. Wants them fast.
$20 gold?
Yes, sir. Also, a counterfeit coin made from those dyes.
The best set we've got are those made by Anton Bauman. Bauman's been in jail for 10 years. Should be safe enough. You'll get him to O'Brien?
Right, but rush him, Chief.
You'll have him in the morning. What's the setup?
He's made contact with a couple of hoods named Prale and Brownie.
Mm-hmm.
Claimed he's got a perfect set of dyes, so they're taking him to meet the higher-ups tonight.
I see.
He'll have to stall until he gets the dyes. Where he goes from there is anybody's guess.
Just after 7 that night, I was going up a flight of stairs in a down-at-the-heel building on Spring Street. Prale and Brownie flanking me. We stopped at a door marked R. Venice, broker. The office wouldn't have fooled anybody. The blonde at the desk would.
Good evening.
Well, hello.
Carla, is Mr. Venice in?
He's on the telephone. Be through in a minute.
Hey, you boys get a nice layout here. Count in the secretary.
Sit down, Harrigan.
Thanks. Oh, say, don't you think you ought to speak to your cleaning woman? Your chair's a little dusty.
I've been meaning to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, you might tear a couple of sheets off your calendar. It's April, sweetheart, not February.
Some clown.
Think it'll be 2 more months before you use this office again?
I'll tell Mr. Venice you're here.
You talk a lot, Harrigan.
Mr. Harrigan's here with Mr.
Prale
and Mr. Brown.
Oh, thank you, Carla. Come in, boys. Well, you can stay too, Carla.
Oh, after you, Mr. Prale. And, Mr. Brown.
Some clown.
Sit down, boys. Make yourselves comfortable.
All right.
Well, now, we don't have to stand on any ceremony, do we, Harrigan? Let's have a look at that gold piece, Prale. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not one of ours, but lovely. Fine piece of work.
Oh, that gold piece is just experimental. I got a set of dyes that'll beat that one 4 ways from Sunday.
Well, now, Harrigan, are we just supposed to take your word that your dyes are good?
The Treasury Department itself couldn't spot them.
If they're that good, why not use them yourself?
He's got a point, Harrigan. Well, why do you want to sell?
A set of dyes is one thing. Getting the gold to put into them is something else again.
And when do we see the set of dyes?
When I see the gold.
What happens if when we see them, we don't like them?
Well, I'll have to look someplace else for the gold.
Oh. Paul Miller will have to locate them first.
Miller?
Our technician. He's a hard man to please.
Okay. Well, where do I find this Miller?
Mr. Prale will attend to that. However, for your own sake, Harrigan, I trust those dyes of yours are as good as you say they are.
There's only one thing wrong with them, Mr. Venice.
Oh?
They're hungry. For gold. And speaking of hunger, I've got a date for dinner. Huh? Goodbye, everybody.
I'll see you out, Mr. Harrigan.
Thanks.
Look, Venice, I don't...
That date I have for dinner with myself. Oh, I could get a reservation for one more.
I work here, remember? And since the cleaning woman doesn't come in on Saturdays, I have a lot of dusting to do.
Oh, it's a shame. A beautiful girl like you has to do all the dirty work.
Yes, isn't it?
Maybe some other time, huh?
Could be, Mr. Harrigan. Could be.
I had to shake my head to clear Carla out of my mind. This was no time to mouse around with a beautiful blonde. I caught a taxi and cruised around the block a couple of times to make sure I wasn't followed. Then had him drop me at the Potter drugstore. I ordered coffee, and when the clerk brought it, he mopped up the counter with a bar towel. When he lifted the towel, a small package was beside my hand.
The chief had them flown out. Those dyes were made by Anton Bauman. They're the best dyes ever captured by the department. Any luck so far?
I've met a mug, a college graduate, a super salesman, and a beautiful girl. Maybe they'll lead me to the boss. I'll pass the sugar, will you?
Sure.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, they've got a fake office at 72 Spring Street.
72 Spring Street. Got it.
And tell Greg to get me all he can on a Paul Miller. He's an engraver.
Paul Miller.
Yeah, I'm seeing him today. These dyes have to meet with his approval, whatever that means.
Greg would like you to report here once a day, if you can.
So would I. But if I don't, you better order a new boy and flowers. So this is where we meet the famous Miller. In the same tired, dusty office of one R. Venice Broker.
That's right. Miller, this is Harrigan.
Oh, come in, all of you. Brownie, stay there by the door. Pale, you and Harrigan come over to the window. Now, Mr. Harrigan,
the dyes, if you please.
Sorry, Mr. Miller, I didn't bring them with me.
Then what are you doing here?
I told Venice and all of you that you can see the dyes when I see the gold. If I know you people have the metal, maybe we can go into business together. In the meantime, here's a sample.
Lead.
I know, but look at the engraving.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad at all. Whoever did this was very good, Harrigan. But don't you know that the Secret Service has a file on every engraver in the United States?
That's what makes this so good. The man who did this isn't in the files. He's a refugee, a Hungarian named Harthy, in this country illegally.
How did you get to him?
I was overseas a couple, 3 years ago. Met him then.
So you were abroad. Why did you tell me this, Prale?
He didn't tell me he was overseas.
What does it matter to you if I was in Europe?
Never mind, never mind. I'm satisfied with this engraving, Harrigan. But I'll have to see the dyes before the boss will come to any term. Brownie, you stay here and wait for Mr. Venice and Carla. And Prale, you stick with Harrigan and make sure he delivers the dyes to us on the yacht tonight.
Okay, Miller. Come on, Harrigan.
Real smart boy, Miller.
Yes.
Now, let me see. I bring the dyes to a boat somewhere?
We bring the dyes.
Ah. Prale.
Yes.
How am I going to get the dyes with you hanging on to me all the time?
What?
Answer, I can't.
So?
So? Come on, answer.
Treasury Department.
Let me speak to Greg, quick.
Mr. Greg, just a moment, please.
Come on. Greg.
Greg, this is O'Brien. I haven't got much time.
You shouldn't be taking a chance like this using the telephone.
I know. Now get this fast. I'm in the lobby of the Riverside Hotel, and I've got one of the dyes in my pocket.
Yeah.
The other face is upstairs in my room, taped to the bottom of the washbowl. Get it?
Right.
I'm on my way back now to that Spring Street office. I walked out on them, so the reception's liable to be hot. If I can work it, we'll all be heading for the waterfront, a yacht somewhere or other, within an hour.
Okay.
I haven't got a gun, but I'll try and draw a shot if I can flush the boss. And you have the Harbor Patrol cover every yacht basin. On the shot, they move in.
Oh, you're an idiot, Prale.
Look, Mr. Venice, everybody had a look at him, passed on him. How was I going to know he was planning to hang one on me?
He must be a T-man. We're in trouble.
Even if he is a T-man, he's got nothing on us. Why worry?
He got close.
Can't Prale take care of that?
Yes. Yes, Prale, find this Harrigan.
He won't have far to look.
Harrigan.
What's all the excitement about?
Why did you slug Prale and duck out?
Well, I didn't want him to know where I kept the other dye.
The other dye?
Yeah, the other dye. I brought only the face dye, not the bag.
Why?
My name's not Santa Claus, Mr. Venice. I'm holding on to the other dye for insurance. Miller ought to be able to okay the deal with one of the dyes in his hand. The other one I keep.
Till when?
Until I see the boss and make a deal.
Look, I'm the boss.
No. You're too much out in the open. Besides, you take orders.
I told you...
Mr. Venice.
Yes.
Miller liked the sample. Let's show Miller the dye. Then let Harrigan meet the boss.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Miller mentioned the yacht.
Yes, he's down there now.
And the boss should be there, too.
Then suppose we all go to the yacht, just as soon as it gets dark.
I've got Mr. Carlson now, Mr. Gregg.
Thanks. Hello, Chief?
Yes, Greg.
Chief, I've got news. O'Brien got the dyes and is meeting the head of the ring tonight aboard a yacht somewhere.
Good work. But I've got news for you. The department had a time tracking Miller. No federal record. They finally dug up something in a small town down south. Local indictment. But get this. Miller worked with Bauman.
Miller and Bauman? Then that means...
That means he'd spot O'Brien's dye immediately as a Bauman job. Get in touch with O'Brien. He's got to leave Los Angeles right away. He's got to break off contact with the gang.
Right, Chief. I'll get right on it.
Yeah.
Smith, take two cars and head for San Pedro waterfront. O'Brien's walking into a trap. If I can't contact him at his hotel, it means he's heading for the beach with that crew right now. If you hear any shooting, head for it. I'm going to try to find O'Brien and stop him before it's too late.
One big happy family.
Shut up, Harrigan.
Now, what's everybody so nervous about? Want to meet the boss?
Harrigan, don't talk so much.
Mr. Venice.
Yes, Braille?
We're being tailed.
Huh? You sure?
Yes. Fellow in a dark sedan.
I don't like that.
Don't worry. Bronnie and I can take care of him. Nobody around these waterfront streets at this hour. Bronnie, I'm going to swing the car across the street and block it.
Right, Braille.
Get your door open. As soon as I swing around, you jump out of the car. So you'll be ready for the guy trailing us. You'll have to jam his brakes and he'll have his eyes on the road.
Got it.
Okay. Here goes. All right, Bronnie, move.
Right.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't be sure you...
I don't have to be sure.
You're crazy. I got him.
Good work, Bronnie. Now let's get out of here fast.
Guy didn't even know what hit him. And you know who he was? Local boy, Mr. Venice. Hangs around the treasury office. T-man.
Right then, I stopped enjoying the ride. Greg had been a good man. He died in the public service. A nice epitaph, but I'd make it up for him. I'd make it up.
Braille, you and Brownie stay here at the end of the pier and keep a sharp lookout. Harrigan and I are going aboard. Come on, Carlo.
Right.
Quite a hunky yacht. It's my place for coining, lad. Do I get to see the boss when I get aboard?
You'll see him when it's time.
Oh, pardon me. I got carried away.
Okay, up on deck, Harrigan. All right. Now give me the die.
I thought Miller was going to look at it.
He's down below. I'll take it to him.
You'd better hurry, Mr. Venice. The boss doesn't like this kind of a setup.
It'll only take Miller 2 minutes under a microscope. I'll bring him back with me if there's anything wrong.
You know, Harrigan, if those dies are good, we might talk some more about that dinner date.
I was beginning to get it. It was a neat setup. A yacht they could move around while they worked. Gold coins. Against the law here, but not overseas. Say, in Europe. The black market, maybe. Sure, that was it. They'd pay a dozen times the face value to get their hands on gold coins issued by the United States. And they got their gold from the jewelry stores, the cheap way. Minted the stuff aboard this tub and meant their foreign contacts at sea. It all figured.
Harrigan.
Hmm?
Harrigan, you're a bright boy. We might all get along real well.
Especially you and me, huh?
Yeah.
Miller's finished his examination. He said he'd be right up.
Oh, good. I'd like to get this deal set. The young lady here and I are building some plans. It's selling real.
Miller, what's that gun for?
The dice. The dice Harrigan gave us. Huh? They were made by Bauman.
Now, wait a minute.
I know these dice like the back of my hand. I was with Bauman when he made them. And Bauman's been in jail for years. Federal jail. All his engraved dies were taken with him.
That means...
Harrigan's a T-man.
Everything's a plan.
Shoot, Miller. Shoot.
Oh, no.
What?
This gun is not for Harrigan. Venice told me about killing the T-man when he brought on the die. I've always told you I don't like killing. I've always told
you... Don't be a fool, Miller. You're in this as deep as we are.
For counterfeiting, yes, but not for murder. I'm leaving. And Harrigan's going with me.
That's playing a smart, Miller.
Stand still! Harrigan, follow me.
Why?
There's a dinghy tied at the boat. Easy. Tail! Brownie, it's a fight! Come on! I didn't mean to shoot, Venice.
Let me have that gun, Miller.
I didn't mean it. Take me with you.
It's Braille. Brownie. Come on. Come on, behind the bridge. Now, we'll keep down.
Harrigan! We know you're there. Come on out. We'll talk.
You want me? Come and get me.
Braille, look, it's the cops.
Harrigan, you double-crossing rat!
Braille, let's get out of here.
It's too late, Braille. Throw your gun overboard and give up.
I'll get you first, Harrigan!
All right. This one's for Greg, Braille. Over here.
You okay?
Yeah. I got here just the right time.
Thanks to Greg, poor guy. Before they got him, he told us he'd be aboard a yacht down here. We moved as soon as we could locate the shot.
Good work, good. You didn't hit the girl, too, did you?
Girl? I didn't see any girl.
Tell him about me, Harrigan. You'll tell him about me, won't you?
Yeah, I'll tell him about you, Miller.
We take this guy, too?
Yeah.
But, okay. Harrigan, let me explain.
But what was this about a girl?
She must be down in the cabin. You wait for me.
All
Hello, Carla. You all right?
Oh, Mr. Harrigan. I was so scared. All that shooting and all...
You can cut the act now, Carla.
What do you mean?
Oh, I've had a hunch about you all along. No one made a move till you gave the nod. And then when Miller called your name when he spotted that dye, cinched it.
Look, Harrigan.
Oh, I have to hand it to you, Carla. You're smart. You ran that mob with a glove of velvet, boss. I left it with the officer and his men, and as I walked along the now deserted pier, I suddenly thought of an exotic flower I'd once seen in the tropics. A parasitic flower that thrived on death and decay. Beautiful, but rotten clear through. Well, geraniums may not be as pretty, but thank gosh there's a heck of a lot more of them.
T-Man, starring Dennis O'Keefe, is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald, with special music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. If you want to hear more from the shows you heard today, find more Old Time Radio, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, just visit relicradio.com. You'll also find a link there to the Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, it's always greatly appreciated. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.